You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Welcome back for another round of Block Rock and Beats, courtesy of the Turtle of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my co-hosts, 365 Days Before. Say hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
And, Brunoside.
Hey, hey.
We've done too many cold opens, and I fear that new listeners, you know, all of them, don't know who we are. So we gotta preface all of these shows with an introduction, at least.
Right, that's fair.
Yeah, what we do
because
we
rake in new users all the time.
Yeah, yeah. It hasn't been the same 500 listeners for the past 2 years.
That's how we do. What's up?
Yes. We're here to talk a little bit about that genre that you all know and love, Zydeco. What have you fellas been up to recently?
Just more moving, just lots of packing and moving back and forth. We didn't get a last month paid sort of situation on the apartment we're in currently, because the old lady sold the place and she gave us like our last month's rent back like a year ago. And of course we just spent it on blow,
as
is proper. So we just kind of had to pay another month's rent on top of it, so we can take our time. Like, this is probably the first time in my life where I can move over the course of several weeks as opposed to just one screaming day.
The luxury, I can't imagine. Like, yeah. I love that sensation of, oh, I fucked up, I haven't packed anything, now I've got to like slam everything into a single box and unsteadily get it to a new place, and then just do the most half-assed job cleaning my old spot.
Well, I always have some fuck-shitty landlord who always wants me to vacate immediately the moment I say, hey, I'm going to leave. And they're like, oh, okay, I got a person who's going to pay more than you. Get the fuck out now, you know? So it's always been like that. And the new place is never available to start moving shit in until... It just never works out. So there's always like, we got a day and a half to move in, to move everything we own in multiple trucks and vans and as many friends as I can drag to help me. So that's generally what I've been up to, is, you know, the calmer version of that, just little by little, which is nice.
That's sight. The new pad, is it everything that you had hoped it would be?
And more. It's like I've said in the last show or the show before, or whatever, it's a lot more space, a lot more privacy. It's actually a place that I can see myself living for years and years, you know, as a home. I mean, I'm kind of beside myself with joy. I can't wait for all the things to go wrong after we move in.
Well, go ahead and get real weird with it if you're going to be there for a while, you know?
Yeah, we'll do.
Now is the time to start taking up obscure hobbies, you know? My thing that I'm destroying my house with is soap making, and I hope that you can find something with lots of noxious chemicals to get into as well.
Meth labs?
Yeah, that'd be good.
You know, raking some extra dough.
Jordan, what have you been doing?
I know on past shows I've mentioned just having sort of neck and back and shoulder issues. Like 6 months ago, I got an MRI done on like my upper back and neck, and I have like a bulging disc and some other stuff going on, and my lower back's been hurting too. So I got an MRI done on that, and I have two bulging discs down there, one going to the left and one going to the right. So I am just a big ball of uncomfortable pain.
Well, there's your problem. Your discs are too swole. You train those discs too hard.
I just hyperextended too much. Actually, I have no idea what happened, and all the doctors I've been to, like, are you sure you didn't get into an accident? I'm like, I don't think so.
Well,
not that I'm aware of.
Are you following proper form when you lift things? You know, you gotta jerk and twist. That's the way to keep your back safe.
I think that's probably what did it. It's too much twisting and kettlebell, you know, jerking up and throwing it over your head type motions. It probably didn't help at all.
It must have been all that backyard wrestling. People have just been breaking those light ray tubes across your back so many times and throwing you through tables that didn't break.
It was worth it for the chance of the five people there.
Always.
Which I've been to some indie wrestling shows that have had like literally five people there, so.
For listeners that aren't in our exclusive club group chat, I look forward to roughly once a week, Jordan sends us a video of somebody just basically ruining their lives with some kind of debilitating injury in some kind of backyard wrestling stunt that literally five people watch.
You get what you deserve.
My favorite is the guy getting hit by a fucking car.
Not a slow-moving car either. Like, he definitely bounces.
Wow. So, as dumb as the stunts that Metal Cats get into, we really need to up our game to match the backyard wrestling crew.
They should do that. There should just be, like, a pro wrestling band.
There is. Just,
okay. Never mind.
It's from the guys who were in Bad Luck 13 Ride Extravaganza. It's called Eat the Turnbuckle.
Ah. So do they, like, do wrestling moves on stage?
Yes. They okay. slam each other through tables. They hit each other with light tubes. Occasionally, they have, like, independent wrestler, like Necro Butcher, will beat them up for realsies, sort of, during their set. So, yeah. And I think one or two of them are or were wrestlers. So it exists.
See, this is one of those $1 million deals that we just can't make, you know.
Although I'm not sure these guys are making $1 million exactly.
Definitely not. I think the best they've ever done is play Gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah.
That's a cool million easy, I'm sure.
I mean, it's not nothing, but, you know, it's not something. There is still room, of course, for our Mortal Kombat-themed heavy metal band. I believe that that's got some legs to it.
No. X, get over here, X.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I went to Costco yesterday, and I don't know. I just had one of those recurring, persistent thoughts that wouldn't leave my head. Like, I just wanted to launch fireballs into all the displays of shit. Anyway, what have you been seeing going on? I know that there's been a number of wacky things, happenstances, coincidences. That wasn't me, I swear. Events going on. What's the first one that comes to mind?
I know for a fact that there have been no angry black metal nerds recently, right? That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Anymore.
I think that maybe they all collectively saw how embarrassing the last couple of black metal dude angry rants went. They were like, maybe we should just be quiet and play our instruments.
Black metal rants are the life's blood of this show. It keeps us going.
We don't have a show without them, you know? It's a symbiotic relationship.
So, the black metal band from Germany, Nargaroth, who have been more around since 1996, which is kind of shocking.
More like Nargaroth, am I right? Fucking got him.
Snap. Damn, got him. You're done. Career's over.
Yeah.
You canceled. And that's the tea, sis.
Yeah. I'm screaming, fam.
Damn it.
Listen, I mean, no one can dispute the lyrical genius of black metal Istkrieg. Nobody. It's like 4 minutes, 33 seconds, except better.
I didn't even realize that was the same band. Fuck.
Same band.
It makes this 10 times better.
It really does.
Nerdgaroth, who are on No Colors label, which some of you might know, was also the home of Graveland, Inquisition, Thor's Hammer, you know, Nazi bands.
So that No Colors thing isn't just, you know,
isn't no red, just no mean, blues.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not asking for M&Ms.
Gotcha.
It's, you know, whites only, essentially. So Nargaroth on their Facebook page, because nothing is more brutal and evil than Facebook, went after the Lords of Chaos movie, which is pissing off so many black metal nerds. Like, I want to see it just to make them madder, but I actually don't want to see it. But I know we're going to see it because we're going to have to review it at some point.
What's so funny about all of this is that these guys are getting all rankled and angry about this thing. But Lords of Chaos, the book, was co-written by one of them. By one of them, I mean a Nazi. Michael Moynihan has a pretty checkered past, being associated with, you know, some of the worst white supremacist shitheads and black metal and neo-folk. So you would think that they would look at this and say, oh, one of us. But that is not the case. So I guess that there is no honor among Nazis.
I wonder what the guy from Agaloc thinks of that. who just went on an anti-Semitic little chat on Facebook this week too.
Yeah, but he's very sorry.
Sorry, what's I don't John see what. Yeah, John. Yeah, John. Yeah. Sorry, I don't see what's offensive about calling it Judenbook.
Yeah. He lost everything. Like his all of Agaloc just disassociated with him. All of what's his new band?
Pillorian,
whatever. they're all leaving him behind. And it's like, oh, okay, so now you're sorry, of course. It's like, I don't have anything to do, so I'm gonna think about what I did for a while.
It's okay. And what's funny is that these folks could not wait to get like distance themselves from this fucker. Like, apparently, he's kind of rubbed folks the wrong way for a while now.
This was like the excuse to finally go, yep, we're done with him. We don't like him no more. This was like it.
Well, congratulations on those guys on starting another side project. But that's not here. That's neither here nor there. We're talking the truest Norwegian black metal around. We're talking about the Lords of Chaos and such in some way, right?
And it's upsetting a German black metal band. So the rant on Facebook, someone helpfully put it on Nargaroth's Wikipedia page in full, which is, I don't use the term hero very often, and I'm not going to use it here, but that's pretty awesome. So thank you to whoever did that. And they did it so it's like just in the middle of the band's history. So they're kind of talking about like what the band did in 1998, and all of a sudden there's this big chunk of text. And then it goes like right back into talking about their album. So, oh my God,
that's
good move.
So funny.
I hope they don't notice for a really long time. But if you'll permit me, I can read. I can do a dramatic reading.
We really need we need theme music for a dramatic reading.
You did Benny Hill last week.
That's true. I mean, like maybe a segment to like rock you into it. You know. Note to producer: go ahead and add some theme music here.
The producer, that's you?
Yeah, that's me.
Let me take a sip of tea to get my vocal cords ready for this. After getting numerous messages and questions about the Lords of Chaos movie, I make the single and lasting statement: I will never, ever watch that garbage. Not because I assume its quality or accuracy, but for the same reason I would never listen to Batushka or any other nowadays hooden costume band. Black metal in cinema, just as plastic casting bands with a rather commercial intention, stand against anything I believe in black metal always stood for in the 90s. Black metal has become Disney-tized, and it strips BM even more than any attitude and makes it an easy to digest consumption good, just as all these libtards that entered BM over 10 years ago intended, what drew thousands of hipster liberal tofu suckers with gender issues into the scene. I am fully aware of that times change and that today black metal is a manifold of subgenres with listeners from all walks of life, including those who not only have detached from the early days of BM, but also reject this past and attempt to rewrite history. I do not support this degeneration. I feel only drawn to the black metal I grew up with and the time I experienced throughout the 90s, and my support ends with the beginning of this new fucked up liberal millennium. Since a long time, black metal doesn't provide anyone what I once was seeking and made me drawn to it. Today, BM is part of the pop culture, and most of his protagonists have no appreciable values and are masters of creating images without substance, and the masses follow blindly. In 2009, when rumors about the BM movie portraying the happenings in Norway circled the scene, I wrote in an interview, "If the rumors are true, then we'll have a generation of movie fans flooding into our art who will celebrate their movie-born admiration, detached from the music and its roots, contributing to its demise. And my thoughts to the surprise of some people why Mayhem eventually allowed to use their songs in the cinematic garbage are the same as to their involvement with that murkier nonsense. Maybe they are just not the black metal cult as so many think they are. You can call me whatever you want. It won't change my stance. I only wish that the degenerative development in black metal would have set in much earlier and the movie would have been out 20 years ago. Because then I would have never made it a part of my life, and the hole its demise left inside of me after all went down the drain, and which I fill with isolation and despise, wouldn't bother me so much. Yet in the end, all this is just an opinion puked into social media, and opinion are like assholes. Everyone got one. My God in Himmel.
Real motherfucking boomer posting hours.
Yeah, right.
I wish it was better like when I was a kid is what that whole post is.
Yeah, that's indistinguishable from some like 50-year-old asshole getting on Facebook and being like, you kids don't know what this music is about. This music is about strictly 50-year-old men from that listened at this specific time. You can't join. And real music is dead. Except for, well, I thought it was dead, except for that Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah, it's straight up, you know, this used to mean something and now your stuff doesn't. And by the way, we used to play outside as a kid and nothing bad happened to us.
Yeah, it, kind of. Except he wants it also like, yeah, we used to play outside as a kid and, you know, sometimes you'd scrape your knee and sometimes you'd stab a gay man to death because it threatened your sexuality. And I grew up fine. These fucking kids say they're pussies.
My favorite thing is, well, my parents beat the fucking shit out of me and I turned out great. And I'm like, well, you're going around advocating child abuse online, so maybe that's not true.
I hope that maybe we can put that whole thing to bed, that it's a good idea to hit children.
Just defenseless, smaller human beings that trust you completely. Like, let's just fucking close fist punch them in the eye.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we used to hit our kids, and we also used to inhale the fumes from leaded gasoline and eat lead paint chips. You know,
yeah.
Just because it was something fucked up that happened to you didn't mean that you need to perpetuate it.
Oh my God, yeah, it's, I don't think I've ever met, like, a good person who's, like, defends parents who used to beat the shit out of them. It's called Stockholm Syndrome, man.
Yeah, most of the time when you're talking with somebody, you can either have that reaction or you can be like, I recognize that I got the shit beat out of me as a child and that was fucked up.
Yeah, like obviously the right thing to do is to like give your kid the life that they should have. You know, you shouldn't just be your horrible father.
All bets are off when that kid is 17 years old and bigger than me, though.
Before we digress further, just going back to what he said, two things that just kind of stood out to me and always makes me laugh is whenever black metal is referred to as BM, it's like the 10-year-old in me, because it's just like, you know what else that stands for, right? Yeah. So every time he says BM, it's just like, right. And also a, you know, German black metaler in his whatever 40s saying the word libtard, like that's funny as hell to me, too.
You libtards are making me move my bowels.
Yeah, what was it? Tofu munching?
You soy suckers.
Hipster liberal tofu suckers. Libtard. Fucked up liberal millennium. You know, maybe it's not us. Maybe it's you.
I've been buying soy chorizo lately. That shit is good as hell, man. I don't give a fuck what some like 400-pound 50-year-old shitbag thinks about it.
That's the best when they're just like, eat your soy, you're going to grow boobs. And it's like they're just actively wiping the boob sweat from under themselves while they're writing this online.
You got a Cheeto under your titty, pal.
Like, look at the ingredients of most of the trash you eat and we'll get back to me.
Yeah, so I love this whole genre. Old man yelling at the kids. And basically, like, I don't know, because I've actually heard his music, and it's a meme. there's nothing to it. But basically destroying any kind of legacy that he would have had otherwise with otherwise politically uninterested black metal listeners.
Yeah, and this guy, like I said, has been around forever, and outside of the song Black Metal Ist Krieg, I don't think he really has any output worth mentioning. Just a hilarious, hilarious song that I thought was a joke the first time I heard it, but ended up being very, very serious, as is evident by this tirade.
I thought that was a joke, too. I remember I put it on an episode that you requested that I put that on some episode for some reason. I was like, this is silly as fuck.
I think they also sell a t-shirt with that on it.
Hmm. Just like a boomer trying to profit off of his art. Unacceptable.
My favorite part of that song isn't the black metalist Krieg 40 times in a row. It's that he just starts throwing the word fuck in there without knowing how to use it. So he's just like, fuck, metalist, fuck, Krieg, fuck. And he just goes and goes and goes. And, you know, you end up happier for it. But the immense sadness behind the man who makes it, you know, it really kind of changes the context of the tune.
The song is like, it sounds like an Andy Milonakis song. It's like, the Super Bowl is gay. The Super Bowl is gay.
Yeah, just about. In fact, I think Andy Milonakis should just do a duet with this guy, the same song.
I agree.
Both versions of the same song. Like, yeah,
he's probably still alive, right? Andy Milonakis?
Well, he was only 12, right?
I don't know.
I think he went on tour not that long ago, so I'm pretty sure he's still alive.
Okay. Yeah. Andy, come on the show.
Yeah, he would. I'm sure he would.
We'll put that in the bank of ideas then.
Maybe he's on like Fiverr or whatever. I don't know. What was the one where Cameo? Cameo is the one I'm thinking of.
Fuck. Before I leave, I'm going to send out a bunch of Cameo requests so that we can be the first podcast to have a bunch of chuds on there giving our paid messages to the listeners.
Beautiful, beautiful. Anything else we need to talk about with Nargle Douche? I don't even remember his name.
Other dumb black metal bands follow his lead, post long, stupid things on Facebook and Twitter and other social media so we can keep laughing at it.
Yeah.
Because it's always gold. It's always gold.
Right. I've never... Sorry, go ahead.
For what it's worth, I went out for drinks with a friend the other day whose opinion I generally respect. He said that he saw the Lords of Chaos movie and said it was surprisingly good, which I did not see coming. I thought it would be just an awful garbage fire. But he says that they do an excellent job of making these kids look just as shitty as they were, like as nerdy and as shitty and as petty as they actually were. So... I mean, could be worthwhile. I don't know. I don't want to give... I'm not going to pay to see this movie. I'm definitely going to, like, watch a pirated stream. Because, you know, I don't want any of that money floating upwards to Moynihan.
Well, the thing is, if you... I'm sure the people that did the movie, they did tons of research. They looked up quotes after quotes. And if you take away the... like reading this 20 years later mystique of the internet, and you have these like scratchy black and white photos of this demonic looking dude saying this like insane shit. That's one thing. But then you got fucking Rory Culkin, who's a living, breathing human being with a young face, and he actually says the things out loud as a moving, living person. You just kind of realize how stupid and goofy these guys had to be. There's no way around it. They were huge dorks, and it's, you just cannot put that on film and make it look cool. It is literally impossible.
Any kind of mystique that I had surrounding Mayhem was completely shattered the first time that I saw a picture of Euronymous wearing a fucking crop top with a trash stash.
With that little Fu Manchu, and I'm talking like not the cool ass big 40-year-old dad handlebar mustache. I'm talking like the little Big Trouble in Little China fucking little side patch mustache. Low pan, that's it. Yeah. But alas, it's not the only insane shit that was said online recently by an old ass guy with old ass ideals.
Yeah, who you got?
Nobody. It's fine. Let's just pack it up. I'm done. We don't have to do this anymore. We really don't. Mr. Pike, Matt Pike, recently.
No. He just won a Grammy, which means that the Grammys are justified now, and that he made good. He's untouchable.
He's untouchable, is he? Well,
I wouldn't want to touch him.
I just want to like walk up to him and just rub my hand down his very always consistently bare back, and then just take a good look at the slime on my palm here and just sort of read what's going on with Matt Pike lately.
So he's got opinions and such.
He shouldn't, but he does. Mm-hmm. There's a Kerrang interview, which I mean, what else can you expect? You talk to most of these metal musicians for long enough and you're going to get some stuff. And as you guys are pointing out to me, Matt Pike has had really insane opinions for a long time, which I guess I wasn't privy to until this interview. Do you guys have any examples of that, or is it just kind of basically what the world knows and has heard?
He's one of those David Icke or Icky or whatever acolytes, the guy that believes in the conspiracy of reptilians controlling the earth.
Yeah.
I went over to Christian Molinar's house a couple of years ago, and he had several David Icke books like on his table. I'm like,
oh no,
he was reading it for the lulls, but
yeah. Well,
this
good.
Is yeah, this is the shit that Pike is actually like into.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't know what it was called. I think it was truthism.org or something. I think the site has since been taken down, but it goes way in. I don't know if it's made by David Icke, but it goes way into that reptilian shit. And the first 45 solid minutes of reading the website, because it's all one long scroll. That's the
of
whole
course.
Website.
That's yeah. The preferred method of putting out your totally sane ideals.
Right. And the whole, like, for 45 minutes of reading, you don't even get to the reptilian part. You just get into the philosophy of what truth is and how I don't give a shit if you don't accept reality. And if reality sounds goofy, that's not my fucking problem. And you're an idiot. And it's like that for honestly, like, a good hour of reading. And then finally, reptilians control everything. Women are here to distract you. And the sun is just a little pinhole in this box that we live in that we can see light out of from the sky. Because it's all fabricated.
Kind of a culmination of ideals from timecube.org and whatever Jordan Peterson is shitting out.
Yeah. So anyhow, let's get into this a little bit. I'm just going to kind of scroll through the interview. I got it in front of me, and I'm going to look for the good, crazy chunk. And we'll just kind of read through that real quick. So the interviewer asks, you've talked about professional conspiracy theorist David Icke in the past. He went from being a pretty mainstream TV presenter to someone whom almost all of the UK was laughing at. Do you relate to the way he persevered with the things he wanted to talk about and not let any of that affect him? And Mike Pack says, no, he says, well, I admire the man for doing that, and I also admire him for opening up my mind. It doesn't mean I totally agree with him on everything, but I respect his perseverance. He's an amazing dude. I don't understand why they let him go out. What the hell? This is just bad editing now, because it goes why they, and then it stops, and then there's like a new paragraph with a whole new capitalization. I don't understand why they let him go so long, though, if he's such a threat, unless he's part of the disinformation, which is kind of what I feel about InfoWars owner Alex Jones. He's so crazy about certain aspects that you have to write him off as being over the top. He's like, quote unquote, there's a war right now. I believe you should protect yourself, but I don't believe you should take up arms and start a war, because that's not a solution to the problem. The solution is educating people and talking and confronting your enemy with love before you confront them with a bullet. Now, that was kind of the big thing that everybody got all up in arms about, because Matt Pike is doing that very typical like boomer centrist thing where it's like, oh, I'll let anybody speak their mind as we can work it out over a nice cold beer. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of not how it is these days.
Remember how we won World War II by hugging and kissing?
Yeah. Remember when I just gave Hitler a hug and everything was fine?
Yeah, those Russians gave about 100 million hugs and kisses.
So many hugs and kisses, especially in Berlin.
I mean, I don't think they had enough soldiers as they had guns, or I'm sorry, the other way around. So some of them had some free hands to do so. I'm sure that's why we won the war. Just a bunch of Russians running in and hugging these Germans into.
It was a real hug grinder.
Yeah, just completely threw down their arms and took arms in the big embrace of
threw London. Down their arms and opened their arms.
Ah, oh God. Poetic. That's why we have you on the show. So let's continue with Matt Pike here. The interviewer, for some reason, goes on, says, talking about Alex Jones, what do you think of his take on mass shootings where he's claimed that they've been totally faked with actors? And Matt Pike starts this off with probably something that no one should ever say out loud and continue speaking. He says, a lot of people will probably be mad at me for this.
So don't. Stop right there. Whenever you say that, just stop.
A lot of people will probably be mad at me for this, but I do believe the CIA are involved. It's the same thing with the moon landings, and it's the same with 9/11, which is what set us up to go into Iraq when they didn't have weapons of mass destruction. You know what that was about? That was about portals and a spaceship under the ancient ruined city of Ur. It's about history. That's why ISIS started destroying everything. They don't want us to know our own history. There was shit under there that's valuable, that's more than a weapon of mass destruction. And CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, that's another fucking subject. Those people are opening fucking portals. Time travel is possible, and they're proving it. But they're going to tell the public – I'm sorry, but they're not going to tell the public that. Are you kidding me? Question mark. Yeah. Okay, Matt Pike. Are you kidding me? That's what he raises his own hands up and says, come on, guys, are you fucking with me here? Why aren't you telling me about the time lapse portals underneath the city of Ur? Bullshit, man.
I was so close to agreeing with him. Like, yeah, 9/11, there was no weapons of mass destruction. We were going after the – oh, no, not the oil. the time portal, of course.
Totally different energy source completely. So it goes on to, the sycophantic interviewer just being like, wow, that's all your lyrical stuff, isn't it? And then Matt Pike goes back into music and it's fine. But
yes, yeah. Devolution was clearly about this.
Yeah, right. He gives me a bit more here. Okay, so the question is, it feels like this stuff is, I'm sorry, I feel like it feels like this is the stuff that you'd be paying attention to even if you weren't in a band. Like, you're not just researching this for lyrics. And he says, yeah, even if I didn't believe it, I'd be singing about it. Shit, when I started writing lyrics, I sang about some biblical shit, because I've always found the Bible fascinating. Mythology is based on things that were happening. We weren't there. We can't go back and see that, unless we do go back in time through the CERN portal. But there's a correlation between that and the honest truth. Something happened that made someone write that down or have that creative thought. And then I think it kind of goes back to normalcy, as far as I can see. So we'll let it go.
Sometimes wish that I could just believe nonsense with like a childlike fascination like this. You know, like if somebody were to tell you like, hey, you know, the world is terrible, of course, but what you don't realize is that it's terrible in completely esoteric ways that you've never comprehended.
Yeah, it's like the world is flat and the transgenders are hiding it from me. It's so ludicrous. What is it? What's the principle? Is it Occam's razor? The most likely thing is true.
Yeah, pretty much.
Probably true.
The simplest explanation is usually the right one.
Yeah.
Like there's just bad people.
Right. I think as tinfoil hat as I get is I think their Iraq war was about oil. There were plenty of like horrible, murderous dictators in the world around the early 2000s, and there still are. And America is not touching them with, you know, like a 2,000-mile pole. They're nowhere near those places. They only specifically seem to want to save the world where there's like oil to be dug up. So I just, you know, that's all I could say about that. That's as goofy as I would ever get online.
I saw something on Twitter yesterday. It was like the National Guard had a tweet like, 15 years ago, this soldier started their patrol along this region in this country, and now their child is joining them. It's like, oh, cool, forever war of empire. That's awesome. I can't wait for their grandchildren to join them.
Yeah. Gotta love it.
It always scares me when people talk about Alex Jones and the like without being like completely derisive of them and laughing at them, because you hear like in this interview and with some other metal musicians as well that like go on his show, or even other celebrities, sports stars, Ronda Rousey for another example, they'll be like, I don't agree with everything he says.
Or it's what just do like, you agree with?
Yeah, and a large part of like what people say was when they're trying to be reasonable, like when talking about him or other conspiracy theories, is I'm just asking questions, and that's what a lot of like Holocaust deniers, it's their attack that they go through is, well, I don't believe that it didn't happen, but I don't think it's what we're being told. So you're instantly like starting this line of thinking where it makes it okay for other people to deny certain things that happen and to accept these weird trains of thought that go down an insane road. And then you have these lunatics threatening Sandy Hook parents and things like that. So all of this makes me very nervous.
Right. And why can't we imagine some mentally fucked up individual with an assault rifle getting into a school and shooting a bunch of kids? Why is that so outside of our train of thought? But we can go over and be like, you know what? I think Obama hired a bunch of actors in this random Connecticut elementary school. Could have been a New York City school. Could have been a fucking, Los Angeles school, Chicago school, whatever. But nope, just random ass Connecticut little town where everything that was on the news about it, everybody that was charged with crime, everything was just all fabricated specifically so that they could take our guns away. Because bullets don't actually do these things. They're just telling you that to take your guns away.
What's like we're pretending that this shit hasn't happened constantly for 20 years. My lady, she bought a book last night when we went to the used bookstore from this author, the guy that wrote The Devil in the White City, which is a good book, and I highly recommend it. But she found his first book, which was a written journalistic expose of how this child in 1988 bought a Mac-10 and brought it to school and managed to get up a couple of kill a couple of teachers before his gun jammed, and you know, he wasn't able to like commit wholesale slaughter, just some slaughter. So like I think the public consciousness of like mass shooting starts somewhere around with Columbine or before that Littleton by like a couple of months, and then just has been a continuous thing since then. But it happened before that. It happened often. Even going back to like the University of Texas Tower shooting, it's a thing when you have unhinged people with easy access to weapons, like mass shootings happen. And there's not some grand conspiracy behind that. It's just we live among us. There are people that are losing touch with any kind of humanity that they once had, and they want to unload bullets on people. It's not a grand conspiracy.
And it makes it so much harder to affect change, real change, to help save people's lives when you have interviews like this with people of some prominence saying, oh yeah, that was fake. That didn't happen.
What gets me about Alex Jones, too, and I guess about libertarianism as a whole, is Alex Jones was, he lives in Austin. He's, been a local celebrity here for a while with his insane public access show that he's had for forever. And it used to be all about causes that I think that, young and maybe not the smartest dudes would get into, but have some kind of credence maybe. Like a big thing that he had was like decriminalizing drugs, which I would fully be on board with. He was also pushing the 9/11 trutherism thing. And it was, in my opinion, that's dumb. I don't think there was some fucky shit going on there, but I don't think there was like an inside job or anything like that. But as soon as he gained a level of prominence, he had his man in the White House, he got press access, he was basically treated as a normal journalist. All of that shit dropped aside, and it was standard Republican boilerplate bullshit, MAGA, 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 getting behind the dude in the White House. These people don't have any real they don't have any real policies behind them. They don't have any real ethics. They're opportunists. Alex Jones is one of the worst case scenarios of that.
The only thing I think happened is like the only 9/11 truther thing that I think probably happened was I think United 93 got shot down by like our own guys.
I believe that.
But I don't think that Bush hired a bunch of like Afghani guys to get in a plane and fly him into the World Trade Center.
I think that you had, if we want to get into the root causes of terrorism, your homeland was destroyed. You look at your common enemy of the American West or whatever, and it's like you want to get back any way that you can. Whatever. It's just the world is complicated, but it's not so complicated that you need to invent something that didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, they did it because they hate our freedom. Joe.
Yeah, that's it.
Not other reason.
There's one thing I know about reptiles is that they hate freedom.
Oh, they hate it. It's the worst. It's what makes that's the difference between cold-blooded and warm-blooded, Jordan.
Airplanes are so cold, reptilians would do terrible on them. They would just be so lethargic.
Yeah, that's why the snakes on the plane lost.
I want Matt Pike to read a real book.
Just one. Like To Kill a Mockingbird, anything. Any high school read.
Ethan Frome.
Yeah.
He's just going to read The Great Gatsby and become like the most insufferable fucking asshole.
Oh, no.
Dapper Matt Pike.
Yeah, I take it back. Just, you know, hate to be that guy, but keep playing the jams, man, because I like it.
Matt Pike, cool dude. I like his music. Well, I like How on Fire anyway, but yeah, cut this nonsense off and focus on your health, man. Don't lose any more toes.
Yeah, that too. Diabetes is a bummer. I just, you know, I think that we're kind of at the age of misinformation where like space case stoner dudes are now more dangerous than ever. You notice that? Like back in the day, it used to not be the case. Like you'd have a guy who'd just be like, man, the reptilians control everything. And I'm just like, you know, oh, that's Uncle Carl. He's out of his mind, you know, and but he's cool. And he, you know, he knows all the best jams from the 70s that you know, all the B-sides that you didn't know about. But these days it's just, you know, the same Uncle Carl is, you know, on the case where, you know, the transgender agenda is here to make sure that you can't be in a bathroom you want to be in, and they're going to chop off your kid's wee wee because it won't be fair to the population. They're off the rails now, and like now they're trying to get people's like freedoms taken away from the craziest shit, and half the internet seems to believe them.
That's social media and, you know, celebrity worship and popularity. Like, is this stuff anything really different from what like Ratskate says from, what was he, an Overkill?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That guy, it's just he's not in a band right now. He's not, you know, a popular, well-known person, but he's still saying the same insane things that some of these other ones are. And I think that's the difference. He just doesn't have as big as a microphone to reach out to people as much. But it, same thing.
Yeah. So a Grammy Award winning, you know, Electric Messiah. It's not just a bunch of lyrics, man. It's all the truth.
It's a blueprint.
Yeah. It's a textbook. Of facts.
This is the news.
Yeah.
It's just a shame when like alien conspiracy theory stuff commingles with like freedom.lockhillaryup.com and all of your like dumbass conspiracy theories start to form the same yellow goo that's consumed by the same chuds. That's how you get QAnon and, you know, all of this stuff. It's lame. Get a better conspiracy theory.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, is you go to a guy who's like, aliens run everything. And I'm like, okay. And they disguise themselves as the Jews. And I'm like, all right.
There okay. It is.
There it is.
It's
the
like,
train's never late.
Yeah, what is it that the conspiracy theorists almost always seem to eventually commingle with like hard right-wing bullshit? I mean, aside from like the Posadas, which I don't think any actually exists. It's, you know, a joke among, you know, leftists that, the dolphins and the aliens are going to finally cause the communist revolution. Like none of them actually exist. But there are plenty of people that are like, well, Hillary Clinton, she personally tortured a child to death to get that sweet, sweet adrenochrome so she could get that sweet, sweet high. Sucks, man.
So has anyone heard any good metal bands lately?
I like Horndal from Prosthetic Records. Just did a review for them on the site. Pretty good, like Swedish, sludgy, hardcore that I think the album kind of talks about how the town of Horndal in Sweden was like ruined by business. So it's kind of an interesting tack that kind of fits into our worldview a little bit.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Prosthetic has been kind of on a clip lately, and I dig what they're doing. It seemed like maybe it was the Neckbeard Death Camp signing first, and that seems to have opened up the floodgates to a lot of bands that have left then Lock Hillary Clinton Up views, and that's cool.
Yeah, they've smartly really leaned into it because there is an audience out there. I mean, we're proof of that. That would be more interested in listening to that than some of these far right Kill All the Jews bands.
Yeah. 2019, Killing All the Jews out. Industrial agriculture is destroying our communities.
Yeah.
Hugging your enemy, 2019.
Just hug the industrial complex that just keeps us down. Just hug a billionaire, you know. Maybe all his money will fall out of his jacket there.
Yeah. I'm going to hug Howard Schultz real good.
Just give him a nice big hug and just pickpocket him while you're at it.
Around just, the neck area.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like his guts start squeezing out of his eyes. Like a Play-Doh.
Hug his neck with a noose and kick him off the highest building in the biggest city.
Hey, I saw this last night. I don't know if this is going to be a shocker to you, but a former member of Anal Cunt, misogynist piece of shit. I can't believe it.
Hey, that's not the Anal Cunt we know.
No. Yeah, apparently the other day, Tim Morse, former drummer of Anal Cunt, up until about 2 days ago, was playing with a band called Deterioration. And before that, he had some other bands like Grief, Horrible Earth, Japanese Torture Comedy Hour, and he's played live with another band, a number of bands. But what happened was he got real drunk and he choked an underage girl and then headbutted her friend. And rather than letting that go by, the folks in Phoenix they had an answer to that. There's a 14-second video you can watch on YouTube called Tim Morse Getting His Ass Beat in Phoenix.
Now, that's a title I could really, like, sink my teeth into. You know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah.
I should write a song like that. If they were still around, I'm sure they would.
The one line description of this video is Tim is gay.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about Tim Morse. I don't think he is. I think that might have been a fallacy propagated by their late lead singer, Seth Putnam.
So, the video opens up with him on his knees, shirtless, with his hands up, begging, please don't hit me. You'll never believe what happens next.
It will shock you.
Nothing will be the same after you see what this man does.
He like last night he posted online, I fucked up, I'm sorry.
Did he manage to get that in like while he was getting his ass kicked?
I couldn't quite make it out of the sounds of fists hitting his skull.
I hope I never fuck up in life where I'm on my knees shirtless, hands up, begging someone not to hit me.
Has that ever worked? Has it ever worked? Like, please don't hit me? Okay, all right.
I think you have to put glasses on first and say you wouldn't hit a man with glasses. Oh, like Looney Tunes style.
The Joker did that in the 1988 Batman. I don't think that worked either.
No, it's because he wasn't dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight.
True. So, congratulations to Tim Morse joining a fine lineage of his brethren, of course. Seth Putnam assaulted a woman at a show at least once. Who was the Josh Martin died while fucking around on an elevator? Escalator. I don't mean to demean the
legacy
history of this man.
Yeah,
that kid is back on the escalator again. Has there ever been someone from Anal Cunt that's like gone on to get their PhD and has like a nice normal family life?
Well, Scott Hull is the lone exception of somebody that kind of made something of himself after Anal Cunt.
The least punched member of Anal Cunt.
Also the swolest, so there might be a correlation there.
Oh, Tim Morris doesn't look like he's in the worst shape when he's like on his hands and knees begging for his life.
Really has that Edward Norton in American History X look to him.
Wiry. Why? Tattooed and wiry.
Now, why would you make that comparison?
Mind comparison. Anyway, That's a fun little nugget of things that happened this week. Pro tip for touring bands, maybe don't get so fucked up that you decide to assault children. Just my two cents on this one.
Just a thought.
What else? What else been bopping?
Well, it seems like I just have this talent, I guess I could call it, of starting shit on Twitter every single week.
You're really good at it.
Put that on your resume.
Yeah, have started shit on Twitter on a weekly basis, as was necessary to make the show as entertaining as it was. So let me pull this up. I made a little tweet.
We need theme music for this too.
I had
Breno's getting people riled up online corner.
Yeah, I guess there's so Anthony Fantano, everybody's favorite nerd to hate. He has this segment on his YouTube channel called Let's Argue. And I feel like this is probably my own sort of take on that, except I'm the one with the hot take and everybody argues with me, as opposed to some people sending me hot takes. But when people disagree with me, I feel like it's a hot take. It's just how it is. I think to disagree with me, you have to be very stupid and out of line. So
we did an entire hour-long episode where you and I disagreed.
Point still stands.
Yeah.
No, I'm just... What was that about? What were we disagreeing on?
That was the Great Butthurt Debate episode number, I don't know, you guys go through the fucking archives.
By the way, that's back in my fucking vernacular, because so many people gave me shit on that and disagreed with me. I was like, all right, don't get so butthurt about it, I'll just fucking say...
Fuck, everyone. It wasn't butthurt, it was shit.
Butt rock?
Butt rock, yeah. Butthurt is probably problematic. Let's disagree again on this one.
Didn't you say, but you said calloused anus on the last show, and I wrote that down.
I contain multitudes.
I said that on my private Facebook.
I said that on my private podcast that we do every week.
All right, to my tweet. On February 28th, I said, I'm not down with blasting metal music to troll quote-unquote normies. It's such a disrespect to the art and an acknowledgement that you yourself consider the music grating. I seriously question why you consume it in the first place. Our music isn't a whoopee cushion. Fuck off with that.
The idea behind this is that you take umbrage at folks that roll down their windows and crank the cattle decap at the normies to kind of weird them out, right?
Well, that's not necessarily it. Like, everybody thought that I meant that, like, driving while listening to metal. Like, clearly that's not what I meant. Or maybe not so clearly. But it's like, if you're just, like, living your life and listening to the music you like because you like the music, that's one thing. But it's not a thing to just, like, whip your fucking neck around in your car at a red light, see a little old lady in the car next to you, and then just scramble, like, just dangerously trying to cue Nile so that you can offend her, which is... such a thing. Like, it totally exists. I see it all the time. Children, adults, doesn't matter. If you're a metalhead, these kind of douchebags are out here. Specifically, what I'm referencing is, and maybe this was a while ago, but it got back into my brain space because I made a joke about doing this kind of thing when I got the new apartment. I talked about how I blasted, you know, metal music to troll my neighbors because I was so stoked about the fact that I wouldn't have to live near them anymore. But I literally didn't do that. I just made a joke about it online, but it got me thinking to a time that this did happen to me, where I was out with one of my very good friends. We went to a bar that had one of these jukeboxes that just has access to every song imaginable if it's on a major label. Doesn't matter what it is.
I know what you're getting at here, and I'm guilty of doing this too.
Well, you're an asshole, and you're an asshole for it. But that's, you know, it's just what I'm getting at is it's just such a dick move. So he cues up like Amon Amarth music because he says that every time he gets to one of these juice boxes, he has to do it. And I'm kind of pleading with him. I'm like, look, man, everybody's having a good time. It's a general public bar with general public music. And he's going off and he's like, well, if I have to listen to this shit, you know, they have to listen to. And it's just like, dude, if you don't want to listen to this kind of music, don't go to the fucking general public bar where they listen to indie music or hip hop or whatever sort of easy listening, whatever. So anyway, dude blasts Amon Amarth He's whipping his head around. He's laughing. He thinks he's the fucking grandest comedian to ever exist. The staff is like scrambling to try to stop the song because everybody is instantly like annoyed by it. And it was humiliating. Like, I left immediately after because it's just like, dude, like, my music is not a fucking stink bomb for you to just set off. You know, it's just, give me a fucking break. So I'll stop talking for a little bit, but everybody took umbrage with this because I'm a huge pussy and a poser who doesn't like, you know, pissing off old ladies in the mall parking lot.
Just to, I don't know, step in. Because I, you know, have done this a couple of times. The time I remember most distinctly was there was a bar near me when I was in college that was a frat bar. Like, that was its clientele, exclusively, you know, shitbag frat boys. And I would occasionally go with some of my scummy friends when they had dollar beer night and drink it, I don't know, 900 of those, and then play with the digital jukebox. So, you know, I had a good time, and of course, just souring the mood of a bunch of frat boys and their dates by putting on, like, 42% Burnt.
Is it 42 or 43? I always forget. 43.
I don't know. 42. I fucked it up. I'm going to say that 42% Burnt is the Art Bonk version. Sorry, continue.
I mean, that's essentially it. I got some people telling me, like, you know, it's one of the few joys of life that I have. And it's like, really?
Wow, that's sad.
Right. It's just one of the few joys in life that you have is just pissing off old ladies at red lights. And I was like, maybe you should work on yourself.
See, when I pull up to red lights and I see that there's whatever, old people, young people, whoever, I turn my music down. It's like, oh, I don't want to offend them.
Because it's annoying. And it's general. It doesn't just apply to heavy metal music. It applies to any kind of music. I feel like music is so personal and it's so totally subjective. And there's so much of it that it's like, why do you think I want to hear Florida Georgia Line at fucking max volume out of your stupid pickup truck? I promise I don't.
Yeah, for me, I'm just listening to an extremely offensive comedy podcast at the red light. So that's got to go down in volume.
Yeah. Like ours.
You know? Exactly.
So you got to turn it down, boys. We got the potty mouths on this here toilet show.
I think it's okay to use your music for trolling to people that deserve it. I think I responded to you on this, that there was a time where I was stuck in traffic and at this little like island archipelago section of a bunch of red lights, there were people protesting gay marriage. And I happened to have Slayer Disciple queued up on, and I blasted that out the window, particularly at the God Hates Us All part. So in situations like that, I think it's okay.
Well, I did kind of respond to that. And I can see you doing it, and I can kind of picture it in my head. And if you're stuck in traffic anyway, fuck them. They're not getting off they're not getting off the sidewalk with some logic, because clearly logic didn't put them there in the first place. So just trolling them, I totally get it. But how a lot of people kind of brought up similar stories or a similar angle on that. And, I kind of replied, in regards to blaring metal at religious protesters, so many metal songs are written specifically to protest the systems that put those people there in the first place. So essentially what you're doing is a counter protest and is different kind of, but here's what happens when you crank blasphemous metal in a pro-life sign guy's head. He thinks in his head, "My Lord, the soldiers of Satan are real and are trying to intimidate me out of this holy mission. I knew that only evil could support these clinics and will stand here harder for God. The last thing I want to put in a pro-lifer's thick skull is that Satan wants him off that street corner. He already thinks that because he's dumb, and you cranking black metal while throwing the horns and cackling at him probably isn't helping these already stigmatized services." So to your regard, I don't think it was so much that case, but these other guys who were kind of blasting it at you know, abortion clinics sort of things. I mean, it's like you know, specifically the abortion clinic thing. It's like these services are stigmatized enough as it is. The last thing we want to do is kind of relate them to like Hail True Satan, you know?
Yeah. I think those people are already gone though.
Yeah, they're gone.
I don't think it matters what you do. It's the one thing you can do is to drown them out at least for a couple of seconds. It's not like you're going to have a debate. You're not going to go out there and talk to them. Here's loud music. Fuck them.
I prefer to use my words when I encounter the pro-lifers.
My words are, and hug them too.
That's, my words right. are, my words are, let's say not PC.
ask them how they feel about welfare, how they feel about welfare for all these unwanted kids. I did that one time, and the guy like just kept pacing with his sign. Like he walked away. He had nothing to say because obviously he's a conservative piece of shit and he wants every Hispanic kid in his neighborhood to die of starvation. But the kid's got to get born first. You know, that's when God's happy. Once God sees that, he gives him the thumbs up and goes and jerks off in the sky or whatever God does. But until that point, you know, they don't have anything to say in regards to taking care of these unwanted kids.
Well, aborted babies go to hell, of course. So, you know, you got to have them be thrust into this world and then, you know, experience every kind of degradation that poverty can have. Then they can go to heaven. So it's all okay.
I see. You have to baptize them first. Then when they starve to death, then they go to heaven.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you're on the train.
Ah, well, then abortion, I mean, we don't really need it then. We got to stop it, right, guys?
Yeah, well, we're officially anti-abortion podcast now.
It's pro-life. Pro-life podcast. Can you imagine? I'd love to hear that. Just 45 minutes of like a guy with his shirt tucked in uncomfortably just going on.
I mean, I'm sure that there are literally hundreds of them.
Hundreds, if not thousands.
You ever watch the 700 Club?
No.
I can't change the channel fast enough when I come across it.
I have not.
Well, 700 Club, Pat Robertson's long-running, goofball TV show where he and his buddies team up to talk about the, you know, the demonic forces of the gays and the Jews and the blacks and sell you survival buckets and such. I don't know. I had a thing for a while when I would sit down and watch it whenever it was on. That's not good for your mental health. Don't do that. Please don't do that. But yeah, there's tons of people like him and his ilk that have pivoted to podcasting now that it's harder and harder to get a TV spot. So they exist. They should invite us on their show.
We really do need to get invited onto more shows instead of people coming to us and saying, hey, can I be on a show? How about you ask us to be on your show first?
Yeah, ask not what your podcast can do for you, but what you can do for your podcast.
I mean, what podcast wouldn't want Brano on for 45 minutes?
Or my podcast. And they fucking, like, they never follow up. I always get people being like, yeah, definitely, man. But it's such a, like, it's one of those things where you see someone at a party and be like, oh, we got to hang out more. And then it never, ever happens. It's exactly that.
Or there's, we should start a band together. Yeah, totally, dude.
I'm on the hook for about 100 bands now.
Yeah.
Zero riffs, 100 bands.
So it's always good when you get the band name, too. You're already named, but you've never had a practice before.
I'd say that at least every episode we come up with one band that we're going to do.
So some of the biggest galaxy brain responses I got to this whole thing about blasting metal music specifically to upset people. One of them was like, I'm a gatekeeper because I'm telling people what to do with their metal music or like how to take metal music seriously. And it's like, yeah, I'm encouraging it, but like do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care if you want to just like, I mean, what can you do to death metal to hurt it? It's impossible, you know, but at the same time, like it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's not a fucking gag that my music is harsh and, you know, a little outside of what the average person would enjoy. So it's like, if you take it specifically and bring it over here to like piss people off, I just feel like it sort of degrades the art form to a degree. And I think that sucks and it makes you a nerd. And it's like, what I always do online anyway, is give metal dudes a hard time for being assholes. So that's just more of that. You know, I think that if anything, doing that kind of thing enhances metal's otherness. It sort of enhances this idea that regular average people totally can't stand this fucking genre that is so hard, and I'm such a hard ass for my ability to listen to it. That's just my take.
You're fighting an uphill battle in this one. I mean, pissing off the normies is ingrained in the culture of metal itself since the very beginning. And I, of course, agree with you because I just want to listen to the thing that I like, and I don't necessarily want to even acknowledge that I listen to this to other people. as is the case with my coworkers, whenever they find out that I'm into metal, it's like, oh, God, I really don't want to talk about this. They're like, why don't you put some music on the playlist? I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
What's your band sound like is always the kiss of death for any metal person in a normal job. It's like, yeah. Oh, you're not going to like it. Like, please don't make me.
I'm doing this for your benefit. I know that you like want to be interested in your coworker and be supportive or whatever, but this is really for the best for both of us.
I don't know. It's like, I just to tell me that like I'm like trying to keep people out of metal by saying that like, hey, maybe respect other people sometimes. And it's just like, I'm going to do what I want. Yeah. Listen, if you're like that, if you're the kind of guy who just like takes death metal to a parking lot and cranks it and laughs at like the old ladies giving you dirty looks, I guarantee you not only are you going to grow out of doing that specific thing in 5 years, but five fucking years from now, you're going to grow out of metal entirely because you don't listen to it for the reasons you're supposed to. You do it so that you can be a hard ass and have long hair and wear scary clothes and, you know, be a jerk in high school. And after none of the goth girls are impressed, you're going to grow out of it and try something else.
Well, eventually you're going to become that old person in the parking lot and someone's going to be blasting something you don't like Attila or something like that,
or any music, because we all know that anytime a metalhead hears it's like, I have to listen to John Mayer, it's like, all right, listen to John Mayer, you'll be fucking fine. It's easy listening for a reason. Relax for once, you know, go get your groceries and walk out, you'll be okay. You don't have to stop dead center of every aisle and go, oh god.
We're all just waiting on the world to change.
Yeah. What are some of your guys' favorite grocery store songs? Like, what do you hear on it and you're just like, yeah, this is a bop?
Whenever the Gin Blossoms come on at the grocery store, I'm kind of like, hell yeah.
We're at the point now where like 90s and even early 2000s alt rock and like college rock is being played, and it makes me feel super old. It's like, oh no, the Foo Fighters are now like buying avocado music. And it's like, yeah. Sounds about right. My back hurts now.
I worked in a grocery store for a couple years, and they played Avril Lavigne and Nickelback at the time because it was about that sort of time. And she had that one song where she was like, by the way, I've never heard a Canadian person be so Canadian in their like singing. I don't know how it was so possible for her. But it was that one song where she was like, I'm with you.
Is that Avril Lavigne?
That's Avril Lavigne, yeah.
Huh.
And take me by the hand, take me somewhere new.
And, I don't know where you are, but I with you.
Hey, so I'd be trying to put toilet paper where it goes, and I'm just like stopping and hearing this, and you know. But now I hear it, it's my favorite because it reminds me of a time when I didn't kill myself. And I think that's a little success. You know, you just gotta take the victories as they come.
I'm leaning into being, you know, 30 something piece of shit, just going to the grocery store, picking up some lentils, going, life is a highway.
All the Matchbox 20 songs are, you know, oh fuck, what's that? What's the good one with Santana?
Smooth.
Oh my god.
Cause you got the kind of loving that could be so true, yeah. Give me your heart, make it real. I was
forget about it.
So smooth.
Just have a good time. Just put yourself in a better mood. Try to enjoy things, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. We're metalheads, all three of us, and we're all the coolest metalheads that you know. So don't you think that you should follow suit and just sort of recognize that we can walk through life and pop music will exist somewhere in the background and it is okay. You do not have to pretend so hard to not know who Justin Bieber is, or you don't have to pretend so hard to not know that the fact that I'm bringing up Justin Bieber shows my age very, very hard.
Yeah, man. Just get into it. Nod your head a little bit while you're picking up corn or whatever it is that you buy. Oh my god, that would be so fucking funny if HEB started playing that.
Definitely did play that in grocery stores. It's a grocery store jam. More people would buy more food.
I agree. That's it, man. I don't think I have anything else to say other than I hope that you all go to the grocery store after this and you just maybe hum along a little tune. Maybe have a good time.
Yeah, and if you live in an apartment, you know, get headphones. And just because the neighbor upstairs doesn't, you know, it means that, yeah, just do the right thing. Eventually, I'm sure the person who lives underneath you, you know, appreciates it.
Yeah. And I hope that the next time that you're browsing the sausage case, you hear a little Blues Traveler.
It sounded so dirty.
Just want to browse my sausage case.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for me. What about you guys?
I say you guys got to keep it metal, and you're all my bros.
Follow us on Twitter at Total of Hell, at Joe Thrash and Kale, at That's Not Metal, at 365 Days of Horror, and send us an email at totalofhell@gmail.com.
Love you.
Bye.
Mwah.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.